ಸರಸ್ವತಿ ಗೌಡಭಕ್ತಿ ಗೀತಾಯ ಶ್ರೀ ಶ್ರೀ ರಾಧಕೃಷ್ಣ ಗೌಪ ಗೌಡ ಶ್ಯಾಮಕನು ರಾಧಕರಿ ಗಿರಿ ಗೌಡ ಶ್ರೀ ವೃಂದಾವನಾಂಕಿ ಜನವೃತಾಂಕಿ ಗಾಂಗಿಮನ ತೋಸಿ ಭಕ್ತಿ ಗಿಜ ಅನಂತ ಗೌರಿ ವೈಷ್ಣವ ಬಲಿಗಿಜ ಸಮಗತ ಭಕ್ತ ಬಲಿಗಿಜ ಗೌ ಪ್ರಭನಂದಿ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ
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 ನಮಃ ವಿಷ್ಣುರಾಯ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಸದ್ಗುರು ಈಶ್ವರಿ ಭಕ್ತರಾಮ ಸ್ವಾಮಿ ನಾಮನೇ ನಮಸ್ತೆ ಸರಸ್ವತಿ ದೇವಿ ಗೌರವಾಣಿ ಪ್ರಚಾರಣೆ ನಡುವಿನ ಪಾಶ್ಚಾತ್ಯ ಶ್ರೀಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಪ್ರಭು ನಿಚನಂದ ಶ್ರೀವೈಕ್ರೀವಾಕ್ಷವೃಂದ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ರಾಮ ಹರೇ ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ ಶೇಷಾಯ ನಮೋಕ್ಯಾಯ ಸರ್ವಸತ್ತಾತ್ಮದೇಹಾಯ ನಮಸ್ತ್ರೈಲೋಕ್ಯಪಾಲಾಯ ಸಹ ಓಜೋ ಬಲಾಯ ಚ as the individual body of the living entity is composed of millions of germs and cells and microbes, the universal body, the supreme Lord Shiva contains all the individual bodies of the living entities. Mm-hmm. Lord Shiva is offering us a basis to the universal body, which includes all other bodies, so that everyone's body may fully engage in devotional service. Since this individual body is composed of senses, all the senses should be engaged in devotional service. For instance, the smelling instrument, the nose, can engage in smelling the flowers offered to the lotus feet of the Lord, the hands can engage in cleansing the temple of the Lord, etc. Indeed, being the life air of every living entity, the Lord is the maintainer of these three worlds. Consequently, he can induce every living entity to engage and its realized duty with full bodily and mental strength. Thus, every living entity should serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead by his prana, heart, intelligence, and words. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam, Aitavad Janma Sapavyam Dehi Nam Nira Dehi Shu Prana Artaya Diya Vaksha Sreya Archanam Arachanam Sada. Even though one may desire to engage in the service of the Lord without sanction, one cannot do so. Lord Shiva is offering his prayers in so many different ways in order to show living entities how to engage in devotional service of the Lord. As I remind you, Lord, you are the gigantic universal form which contains all the individual bodies of the living entities. You are the maintainer of the three worlds, and as such, you maintain the mind, senses, body, and life there within them. I therefore offer my respectful obeisances unto you. So here, Shiva addresses the Lord as Sarva Sattva Atma Deha, which means the body composed of all living entities, which, as Prabhupada explains in the purport, means the universal form. Of course, we also understand that universal form is not a spiritual body of the Lord, since it is made out of bodies, material bodies and living entities. It's more symbolic than anything else. Nevertheless, the description appears many times in the Bhagavatam, and in fact it's described six times in the first two cantos of the Bhagavatam. It's a common theme. This whole universe is like a big body, and all the living entities and their senses are part of that body. So the idea is that just as the material body, one material body in the material world, has a soul, and then it has a subtle body, it's a gross body, and the gross body has various organs in it, various senses in it, by which that living entity survives and enjoys in the material world. So we can take that a step further and say the whole universe is like that. It is like a body made up of all the living entities, and it also has senses, it also enjoys material world. So simply saying that all the living entities in the material world, from Brahma down to the germ or microbe, are all enjoying with their senses in the material world, but actually they're covered up because real essence is the Atma inside them. So the universal form is there to give us an understanding that of the total of all the living entities in the material universe, and they are that total is very similar to all the individuals in it. So, why is the Lord identified with the universal form, since it is a material body, or material bodies? Why should we identify that with the Lord? And ultimately we can. It's not a spiritual form, it's a material form. And it's often equated with Brahma's body also. He's often equated like a universal form. So it's not actually a spiritual body, and therefore it's not listed among the avatars of the Lord in the different lists that are there. So it is quite different from the other bodies. Nevertheless, it is also considered to be the Supreme Lord, and we see even Krishna manifest the universal form and to Arjuna in the Bhagavad Gita. So the relationship is that, and it's also described in the first and second cantos of the Bhagavatam, that universal form actually gets its life from the Supreme Lord. Because of the presence of the Supreme Lord, that universal form begins to operate. And its eyes operate as eyes, and its feet operate as feet. Because of the entrance of the Supreme Lord into that form. When the Supreme Lord is not there, it sits there and does nothing. So just as the Supreme Lord must enter into Prakriti by his glance, and put the jivas there, and then he must enter into the universe as Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, he must enter into the jivas as Shirodakshaya Vishnu in order that the material world goes on. So the same idea is presented by the fact that ultimately Supreme Lord is necessary in this universal body for it to operate. In that sense, it is his body, so therefore it's equated with the Supreme Body, even though it's material. So the understanding is ultimately that as Paramatma feature, the Lord pervades the material world. Ultimately, that's all it means. So, of course, we also have this simultaneous to one indifference. The Supreme Lord is completely everything, because everything is the Shakti, and the Shakti is not different from the Lord. So the material Shakti, the Achit Shakti, and the Jiva Shakti, as well as the Chit Shakti, are also one with the Lord. Veda Veda, Chitta Veda Veda. So therefore, all of this is one with the Lord, and we can say it is his body also, in that sense. At the same time, we do realize there is Veda there. So ultimately, Achit and Jiva are different from the Supreme Lord. So that's why we say, it's a material body, it's not actually the Supreme Lord. So we understand it's a little bit different from the other form of the Lord. Visheshaya, and Stadhyase. Material world is made up of varieties, or vishesha, details. Now, in the Upanishads, Chandogya Upanishad, there it says nana, which means variety. This is what the material world is made of. And then it says, no, actually, there's nothing, there's no variety. Nothing is there. So, of course, the person will take this, the material world is illusion. Nothing is there at all. The understanding is that ultimately, in one sense, no, the material world, that variety is useless. It is temporary. So, at the same time, that does not negate the variety in the spiritual world or in the Supreme Lord. So, though one may say Brahman is nirvishesha, etc., they cannot say the Lord is nirvishesha. So actually, the Lord is full of variety and qualities, etc. So he's not nirvishesha, he is vishesha. So, in this way, Shiva understands that the Supreme Lord actually is made up of limbs and details, etc., not without qualities. He has lots of qualities. At the same time, the Supreme Lord enters into the material world. Which of course is a problem in philosophy. How the Supreme Lord enters into the material world is not affected. But this is the nature of the Supreme Lord. One of his qualities is vairagya, which means unaffected by matter. So the Lord can enter into the material world as Paramatma and not be affected. He can enter into Jiva, not be affected, even though the Jiva is affected. He's not affected. So by entering in as Paramatma, as Mahavishnu, Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, Shuradakshaya Vishnu, he protects everything in the material world. He maintains everything in the material world. So he is called, of course, the Sattva-guna avatar. So he is in charge of maintenance or protection. As it says here, Pala. He's a Pala. He's a protector of the material world. Whereas Brahma is the creator and Shiva is the destroyer. So Vishnu is the maintainer. So as Chiradaksha, Vishnu and Paramatma in the heart, he maintains all the jivas in the material world and he maintains the status quo of the material world so it's not destroyed. And to do that, he always enforces sattva-gun over tamagun and rajagun. And therefore, when the demons attack, Supreme Lord counterattacks and stops them. So he supports the devas who are in sattva-gun in order to overcome tamagun and rajagun. So the demons represent destructive force in the universe. They disturb everything. The devatas are sattva. They maintain the universe in its proper order. And the Lord supports the devatas. So therefore he is protector of the three worlds. And saha oja balaya, this refers to the Shakti of the Lord manifested in the senses and the mind and the body. So the Lord is equated with these things, even though these are material. Just like in Ayurveda, they have different airs in the body, in the vata and the pitta, etc. So they also have ojas and saha and bala. But these are material things ultimately, combinations of material elements. But nevertheless, Shiva is equating the Lord with these things because he is ultimately the force behind them that makes them operate. Just as the pranas are in the body, pranas are an expression of vayu. Vayu is a material element. But the pranas don't operate unless the Supreme Lord is behind them. So the senses are there, the eye and the ear, etc. They're also material elements. But they don't operate also unless the Lord is there. So therefore in the Upanishads it says the Lord is the eye and the ear of the ear, etc. He is the ultimate instigator of all the activities of all the senses. Therefore we call him Hrishikesha, master of the senses. Without him, senses don't operate. Without him, Saha Ojaswala doesn't operate. Without him, pranas don't operate. So ultimately through the Lord, indirectly or directly, all the bodies of the living entities are supported. So the universal body on a large scale is supported in this way, and all individuals are supported in this way by the Supreme Lord. So only his presence and his permission and his power that allows the living entity to operate in this material world. Otherwise they cannot do so. So the Lord maintains the living entities and he supplies them with everything. But in order for the world to go on properly, the gunas have to be balanced. And generally we find that tamogun rises up, as we have such a trait at Varpakali. Gradually tamas rises up. So the Lord is always there to maintain the sattva. So he is protector of the material world. So against the forces of Kama and Rajagun, the Lord is there to maintain things properly by maintaining sattva. And of course he maintains all the senses and everything, all aspects of the activities of all the living entities in the material world. Paramahamsa literally means one who has transcended all rules and regulations. Then of course it also refers to Paramahamsa Sannyasi, who technically also is beyond the rules of the Vedas. So therefore he gives up everything. He gives up the thread, he gives up the danda, etc. We give up everything. All of the entities are there. The Sattva Raja Tamas is there. Therefore, it cannot be equated exactly with the Supreme Lord because it's got all the material gunas in it.
Sometimes people also worship the Vyasa. Sometimes people worship the Vyasa.
Yeah, and the Bhagavatam also, it is recommended in the second canto that the immature yogis worship the universal form. But it's not a direct form of the Lord. So therefore it's considered inferior. If they worship Paramatma, that is superior. If they worship the universal form, that is inferior.
Aren't there some similarity between the impersonalist or understanding that after liberation the soul will merge with the Brahman? And at the end of the universal cycle, the living entities will leave their bodies and will merge with the body of Mahavira.
What's that? What's the question?
So is there this similarity?
There's a similarity in one sense, but going into Mahavishnu is not permanent because they have not destroyed their karmas. And when they come out of Mahavishnu, same old karmas come back again. So that's why they have to come out, because the karmas are waiting for them. So the karmas begin to operate again after they come out of Mahavishnu. And they go back into the material world. If you go into Brahman, no more karmas. Karmas are all destroyed, so you don't leave.
But actually, at the time of Kalyan, there is no will of the Atma. Atma doesn't desire to get first. this is the will of the Lord that everything is absorbed inside.
Yeah. So that's why he comes out again, because he hasn't destroyed his karma.
Thank you. Thank you.